Yeah, he's not the austere master.
Yes.
No.
He's the loving, affectionate
Lord who wants to pull in and draw into himself the servants who desire to be faithful to him and who want to come under his authority.
And he was that very servant who said when he could go out free, I will not go out free. I love my master. I love my wife. I love my children. And he made the pledge by going to the cross that he would be the servant forever. And I believe that comes out in this portion. And we notice here then, it's well to remember, as John mentioned, will return from the wedding, and the thought of affection is there. And we cometh and knocketh, well, that they may open unto him immediately. It's not a surprise that there's a knock. They were waiting for it, anxious. They're ready there to open the door. And then he says, blessed are those servants when the Lord, when he cometh, shall find them watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them sit down to meat and will come forth and serve them. It's one of the precious verses of Scripture. To think, here, our time of service will end. And he's going to bid his servants sit down at the table. And he's going to gird himself and come forth and serve them. Have you ever thought of this? Here we find what will take place through the countless ages of eternity. And he's going to spread a table for us. And he's going to feed us. Not because we're hungry. We'll never be hungry there. Eternal satisfaction we'll enjoy from what he spreads to us. Infinite in his wisdom. No end of the resources in all eternity. And there he will feed us. The joy of his heart will be to minister to our need. I shouldn't say that. To minister to our joy. And to really to answer to the true servant in love. He will serve them forever.
Would you say, Brother Jake, I always thought that when that Hebrew servant uttered, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free. Because of that utterance, we might think that the servanthood, if you will, of the Lord Jesus will cease when we are brought to glory. But to me, from that verse, I will not go out free. I will always stay a servant. And he will serve us eternally. And brethren, if that thought will not take hold of our heart and stir up affections for him, I don't know what else today could stir us up.
The one thing that in quoting there of the servant that we haven't touched on is the ear then being bore through the ear. And I think that also comes out here. And we had that comment referred to at the end of the last study as to obedience. But now it's a delight to hear, because they're watching, but they've obviously received the instruction that he's coming back, right? And they've treasured that in their hearts, and they're watching now. So the ear must be actively engaged for the affections, the affectionate response, that it is the right response for his development.
I was just also thinking, though, although we get in Luke 12 what is his service to us eternally, when you parallel Exodus 21, what you get is his service to his master. Amen. So there he is, not only serving, first of all, serving the interest of his master, but at the same time serving those bond servants who have found their interest in him.
I just was thinking, David, of the little simple verse from 2 Timothy. That he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Isn't that wonderful? That he may please him. His heart is wrapped up in doing his master's business, isn't it?
And that requires faithfulness to the master. That is required, that self-sacrifice for the master. That is required if one will be willing to forget completely oneself. That Hebrew servant could have said, well, I did my duty. I served my time. Now it's time for me to go free. But he will go and suffer. And there the verse said, John, he will be a servant forever.
And a pleasure for the master. He did always those things that pleased the Father. And what a joy it will be for the Father's heart when the Lord Jesus brings home the many sons to glory. And in that foyer, if you can just imagine it, in heaven's glory, and he will say, "Behold, I and the children which thou hast given me." The joy of heaven. The joy between the Father and the Son. When he has those presented, the Father has given them to him. Given them to him as an award for what he has accomplished at the cross in glorifying him. But the Son brings them to the Father. So we are a gift to the Father from the Son. We're a gift to the Son from the Father. And we're held in him and brought into that union and that intimacy to enjoy forever. Well, if you take hold of that somewhat and then realize now he is telling us, whatever watch he comes, be ready.
Be watching.
Be ready. Watch.
But if you look at these two watches and how are divided, it really brings the fact of the coming of the Lord Jesus, because the third watch, it is connected with his coming to his own. And now let me just show you that it is true from the Word of God. The Jewish people have divided the night into four watches. The first watch is from 6 to 9, the second one from 9 to 12, the third one from 12 to 3, and the fourth one is from 3 to 6. Now, in Matthew 25, we have the midnight cry. That is the second watch. Behold the bridegroom. And we believe that this awakening to the coming of the Lord Jesus happened about 200 years ago. So the second watch is gone. The third watch is coming. Because the fourth watch, you read of it in Matthew chapter 14, when the Lord Jesus came walking on the sea to Peter, to the disciples in the ship. He's coming to the remnant. That's the fourth watch. But the third watch speaks of the rapture. It speaks of the coming of the Lord Jesus to his own. Because as I said, the second watch, which is the midnight cry, have taken place already, which we understand it from Matthew 25. The point I want to bring is this. The coming of the Lord Jesus is soon. It is happening. It's going to happen at any moment. Now, in heaven, there will be no time for service. He will serve us. There is no time for faithfulness in heaven. You will be faithful in heaven.
Yeah.
You will be faithful in heaven. You don't have to worry about unfaithfulness in heaven. Time for faithfulness is now.
Amen.
And the reward for that is in the coming day when we will come with him, to reign with him. Every faithfulness to the Lord, even if it involves, and it will involve suffering and sacrifices, God is no man's debtor. There will be reward for it. So, he is coming soon. And he is looking in these last and closing days for those who are wholly committed to him, to live for him and to serve him.
I want to bring the application of what you have discussed, the watches. As far as Luke, they are three. Regardless of when Christ came or will be coming, if you want to divide it by application, when he first came to earth, when he comes for his own, and when he comes with his own. But regardless of at any stage of this coming, the Lord is always expecting that there will be a remnant of servants always waiting for him. And you see that in these three different comings. I mean, have you ever considered for a moment what was it for Simeon? Awaiting for the consolation of Israel. I mean, to hold the Lord Jesus in his arms. I mean, you want to call it the wave offering. Whatever you want to call it, it's fine with me. I'll say amen to it. But just to present him before God. And I wonder if this will be our portion as well in heaven. Yes, he will serve us forever. But I really believe the saints will just wave him and present him before God eternally. And what else can you say, really? But every dispensation of his coming, if you will, he's expecting that there will be servants waiting for him.